Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. We know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Last Sunday night, I brought a message in which I addressed several issues related to our country and my concerns about America and many of the decisions that are being made in our country that seem to be anti-Christ, anti-biblical family, and anti-America, and how all of us should pray for America and for revival in this land. But tonight I speak to you about something I believe to be even more rudimentary, something even more important, and that is the family in America. Because frankly, if we lose the battle at home, then the effect of that rippling out becomes America. And we oftentimes can scream out about problems in the culture at large and really neglect the problems in our family room and in our own homes. The Bible says in Psalm 127 in verse 3, children are an heritage of the Lord. The word heritage in the Hebrew literally means a possession, a prosperity, or an inheritance given by God, bestowed by God. And all of us tonight who have children and family, all of us would quickly say that there is nothing more sacred that has ever been entrusted to us than our children. Not a job, not a car, not some other inheritance, but the children that God has entrusted to us. And I know that all of us who have children would say, you know, sometimes I wish we could rewind this and I could start over again knowing some things I know now. And yet I want to tell you tonight that it's never too late to have a godly influence on your children or grandchildren. They are always watching you. God's word is always available and effective, and it is never too late to have some measure of godly influence on the next generation. The fact of the matter is tonight that all of us should desire to leave a godly heritage with our children. Sometimes it is tragic to me to see people who literally worship in cults, people who do not even believe in God, who do a better job passing their values down to their children than born-again, Bible-believing Christians. God has challenged us in His Word to take that precious possession and to steward wisely the inheritance that He has given to us. Tonight I want to share with you three biblical principles that will help all of us in leaving that godly heritage to the next generation. First of all, as we enter these summer months, I believe it is vital that all of us as parents and grandparents would determine that we will model the Christian life. That we will model the Christian life. The greatest gift you can give your children is a good example. The greatest gift you can give your children is a good example. Model the Christian life. We had a fellow come in the lobby this morning and he was baptized here some months ago, and he's a new Christian, and he'd been shedding some of the indications of his former life over the last several weeks. He'd been growing and getting into some classes and discipleship, and I went up to him today, and I noticed he had a new body piercing. And by the way, It's not our place to judge someone necessarily, but it's okay in the church house for a pastor, a teacher, a discipler to kind of take a moment and admonish someone in the Lord. And I went up to him. I said, hey, what's going on here? I said, all of a sudden you were taking all that out and now you put some piercings back into your face. What are you doing here? I said, get that stuff off your face. And he's a large man, a large man. I said, don't make me have to whip you after church now. And he kind of laughed. And I said, now look, I said, how many times have you seen a godly man piercing his face like that? And he thought about it. He shook his head. He hasn't. You see, God wants us to set an example, to model the Christian life. And he wants young believers and our children especially to have an example that is modeled before them. I believe we must model the Christian life in our daily walk, in the way that we live day by day. Our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. Let's say that verse together. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Gentlemen, say it with me. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes. God wants us to live a life that our children can observe the way that we live. And he says in verse number 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And one of the ways we provoke or exasperate our children is by living a life that is inconsistent with what we are telling them to do with their lives. God says, I want you to give them a consistent example. Do not give them a reason for anger, but live a life before them that is a life in your daily walk that is the model for them of the Christian life. How God wants us in our daily walk to model faithfulness before our children. And that's why I say it's never too late. Some of you have grown children that may not be living for the Lord, but let me tell you something. They know where you are tonight. They know that it's real with you. They know that this is not a passing fancy. We had our senior banquet the other night, and I spoke to the seniors there at the Disneyland Hotel, and I spoke for a moment to their parents, and I said, parents, don't feel like your job is done now that you have a 12th grader. I said, the fact of the matter is, your children need you to be faithful after they graduate just as much as they did before they graduated. The fact is that they still need the model of faithfulness that a parent can provide. In our daily walk, we are to model the Christian life. I remember so vividly one of our men telling me years ago about his joy in giving. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I was raised in a Baptist home. And he said, I remember every Saturday night, my dad would sit down and he would read the scripture to us. He would pray for our pastor. And just about every Saturday night, he said, I'd watch him take his checkbook out and write out his tithe to the work of the Lord. And he said, as a 4 and 5 year old, that made an indelible impression upon my mind. He said, I've never questioned, I've never struggled in that area. It just became a part of his life. He had seen Christianity modeled in the home. God wants us to model Christianity in our lives. Dads, our children watch what we laugh at. They watch what we get excited about. They watch how we apply what we're learning. We are modeling before them the Christian life. But not only in our daily walk do we need to model this, but secondly, in our marriages, we need to model the Christian life. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2 for just a moment and verse number 23. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. One of the greatest gifts that a father can give to his children is to love their mother. One of the greatest gifts a father can give to his children is to love their mother. And thank God for men and women in this room who work at, by the power of the Holy Spirit, building a strong relationship that their children can copy and can learn from and grow from. Genesis 22:23. And Adam said, speaking of Eve, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God's design with marriage is here mentioned, that a man and woman are to come together, and what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And God did not design marriage to be disposable. He designed it to be a lifetime commitment. And the stability of that commitment is felt in the hearts of the children. And they sense that marriage is ordained of God. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sir Winston Churchill often said, wars are not won by evacuation. And God is not bringing victory into a home by evacuation, but by faithfulness. And so, first and foremost, if we will train up a godly generation, we must model before them the Christian life. Not anger, not evacuating, not quitting, not fighting. Listen, friend, the kids down the street where the police show up every Friday night because of the fighting and the loud music and the liquor, they can see all of that without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we must model something that is different, something that is lasting. Model the Christian life. Listen tonight. People do what people see. Let's say that together. People do what people see. And I've seen that over the years. So many times, people will do what people see. That's why, frankly, when I interview staff coming to our church, I talk to them about many, many different things. They fill out many different forms, and I try to get to know them. I've called high school coaches and last employers and all kinds of people to make sure that, to the best of my ability, we're bringing people in here who would be a good example. And I have said to many of our staff and their wives, now it's understood that Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We expect our staff wives as well to be involved in ministry and soul winning and faithfulness. Why? Why do I say that as a pastor? Because I understand the church family will do what the church family often sees. And the fact of the matter is that in the church family, while it's important for the leadership to have the right example, how much more important in your family to have the right example? Because people will do what people see. And thank God tonight that there are hundreds of children here in this room who saw their mother and father get ready, freshen up, get their Bible, and get to the house of God. And in so doing, you are modeling to them, this is a priority. This is important. Hearing from the Word of God, getting together with Christians, encouraging one another, this is vital in our lives. Modeling the Christian life. Notice, secondly, we are to mentor our family then in the Christian life. Not only do we show it and model it, but we are to mentor our family along in this process. Verse 4 again, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, that would be by poor modeling, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, a mentor is an experienced or trusted friend or advisor. Someone that can help you to see how something is done. Someone that you would allow to tell you when something's not being done correctly. Someone that helps you as a trusted advisor to get the job done properly. It may be an apprenticeship at work. It may be in the military. It may be in the law enforcement. It may be a residency in the medical profession. It may be an internship at Lancaster Baptist Church, as we have nearly all the time a pastoral or missionary intern learning from the staff and learning about the ministry here and being mentored by others around them. But again, there is a great concern today that we are not mentoring our children as we should. Many men in this room can take someone out and mentor them in your profession. But what about mentoring our children in living and in life? Proverbs chapter 4, if you would turn there please, and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. Speaks to us about bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, but notice the second part, I have led thee in right paths. I thank the Lord over the years that I've not only been out soul winning every week, but that over the course of ministry, I've been able with each of my children to see someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not only to show them by example, but then to mentor them along in the process. And I believe it's vital that we figure out what's important in the Christian life, and then that we show them how it is to be done. We mentor our children in a few very specific ways. First of all, we mentor them by nurturing. Nurture means to provide those conditions favorable to healthy growth. In our backyard, I planted some weeks ago, probably a little too early. Just got in the mood, went out there and planted a little garden real quick. And as I planted that garden, I tend to get something like that planted and don't always get to care for it like I should. And my uncle Steve was here from Colorado Wednesday for the graduation. And we had the college graduation and had a wonderful graduation. I mentioned that earlier. And what a blessing to see the choir loft filled with graduates going all around the world serving the Lord. And I didn't realize my uncle was coming till the last minute. And I called him up and I said, hey, why don't you come over and we'll have a sandwich after the graduation. So he and his family came over. And it was a nice day, and we went out in the backyard and had some sub sandwiches. And he said, what do you got back there, back in the back there, where those railroad ties are? I said, well, that's the garden. He said, you got a garden? I said, yeah, got a garden. I said, I know my culture, my heritage. I said, I couldn't not have a garden, could I? He said, no, that'd be wrong, backslidden, terrible, not to have a garden. And he said, let's go out there and look at it. That's just a chapel thing. I mean, my granddad, when we'd get back to Colorado, before he'd even get out of the car, before he could even use the restroom or anything important, he'd say, let's go to the garden. That was always what we did. And he'd take you out and you'd check the garden. And we went out and we looked at the garden. And he said, well, he says, pretty good. Not bad for a city garden. Not too bad. Some onions and had some melons starting to come up there. Some different things. But he said, you know, you really need to hoe this garden. You really need to till up the ground a little bit. And he's right. I had not been to the garden since I planted the garden. He said, if you really want this stuff to do well, you got to come out here and hoe it every once in a while. And you got to get the ground tilled up. Now, someone says, well, Pastor, that is not exactly like, you know, real scientific counsel that he gave you. That's pretty basic. You got to hoe the garden. Let me tell you something. It's so basic, sometimes I don't do it. And nurturing a child is so basic, and sometimes we don't do it. We don't cultivate the ground or create favorable opportunity. I had one of our dads tell me today, he said, I'll tell you what, my son's about to be a teenager, and I can't wait to go to that men and boys camp out. We just need some one-on-one time. You know what he was saying? We need to cultivate the garden a little bit. I want him to grow and produce some fruit. We're going to cultivate that time together. You see, there is in the Scripture a reminder to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. I heard about a father that took his son out fishing one day. They were out fishing. After a couple hours out in the boat, the boy suddenly became curious about the world all around him, started asking questions and so forth. He said, Dad, he said, how does this boat float? His dad thought about it. He said, I don't rightly know, son. After a while, the son said, Dad, how do fish breathe underwater? And the dad said, I don't rightly know, son. After a little while longer, the boy said, Dad, why is the sky blue anyways like that? Dad said, I don't rightly know, son. And he started to worry, the boy did, that he was annoying his father. He said, Dad, he said, I'm not bothering you by asking all these questions, am I? The dad said, of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything. Hopefully, we'll do a little better than that with our kids when they ask them questions. A Cornell University study showed that fathers of preschool children spent on average 37.7 seconds per day in real contact with their youngsters, while the same children watched, on average, 50 hours of television per day. With no disrespect meant, it's no surprise to me that the sales of Ritalin and other such drugs are on the rise. It's no surprise to me that so many children have attention deficit issues in their life. When all they're seeing is the changing of a commercial and the shooting of a bad guy and the rolling over of a car and the explosion of this and the explosion of that and Bart Simpson and all the rest of it, when they could be maybe held by a daddy who says, "Hey, big guy, how you doing? I sure love you. Let's pray. Let's fold our hands. Let's take a walk to the garden. Let's spend some time together. How about if I read you a book? How about if we spend some time reading together, nurturing them in the Lord?" Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 24, verse 13. Proverbs 24, it's in the Bible, fellas, turn there. Some of you are looking at me staring at a calf like a calf staring at a new gate here. Proverbs 24, talking about nurturing our family. Proverbs 24, 13, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Godly wisdom imparted to the heart of a child is a nurturing effect in their life. The prayer and wisdom of a father, of a mother. And then we mentor, secondly, by encouraging them. By encouraging them. Years ago, I read a little phrase, and I've tried to remember it and practice it. It simply says, help someone reach their full potential by catching them doing something right. Help someone reach their full potential by catching them doing something right. And you know, if you're like me, sometimes you can see when someone does something wrong. Maybe you're training a new person at work. Nope, that's not the way we do it. Nope, that's not the way we do it. But when they get it right, let them know they got it right. Brother Guy is our new music director, and he's doing a great job, isn't he? I like Brother Guy and his dear wife down here. He's like me, married way over his head. But Brother Guy, he's putting these things together. And I told him this morning after church, I said, "Brother Guy, that was some of the best music we've ever had at our church this morning. Boy, it was great. Love the songs about the holiness of God. And there was one, a little newer song, but very well done. And some older songs, all of it." I said, "Just the quality, the spirit, the servant's heart. It blessed my heart." Now you can ask Brother Guy after church. Sometimes on a Monday morning, I might not say it blesses my heart. I might bless his heart with some other thoughts along the line of maybe how something would be a little different. And that's a part of being mentored too. But you know, when someone does something well, let them know it. Let them know they did something well. And this is a part of mentoring them along the way. Proverbs 31:28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her." Hey, fellas, let me give you a clue. Your wife does things well most of the time. And most husbands don't show gratitude for the most of the time stuff that's done really well. We just focus on the things that maybe weren't done quite as well. And hence, weeds grow in our garden instead of fruit because we're not nurturing like we should. Mentor your family. Show them. Modeling is your example. Mentoring them is showing them how to do something and praising them when it's done right. Letting your child know when they did their homework. "Boy, I'm glad to see you doing that, son. I'm thankful." Listen, the fact that they're working at it is as important as the grade that they get. And letting them know when they're doing something right. Mentoring them along the way. First, model. That's the life that you live. Secondly, mentoring them. Showing how it's done. Thirdly, tonight, maintaining a consistent biblical teaching in your home. Maintaining consistent biblical teaching in your home. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse number 4 of Proverbs 6. And I want you to read this with me tonight and think about the words as we read. All right? Ready? Begin. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." All right? Now you found it there, Proverbs 6, 4. Let's read it a little better. That was a little weak, sister's reading there. So let's lift it up a little higher. And men, let me hear you say it with me. Ready, begin. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the..." All right? Now, nurturing is related to the mentoring process, cultivating one's life. Admonishing is to teach someone, to show them what is right, to teach them what is right and what is wrong. And the Bible speaks about the Word of God being our tool for admonishment. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to admonish from His Word. Now listen very carefully about admonishing the next generation. First, we must admonish in our home. Admonish in the home. Now there's two extremes that I see in Christianity here. First, I see those that are so involved in home admonishment and teaching that they have disregarded other institutions such as the local church ordained by God. And they're missing out on the responsibilities they have to the body life, to being under spiritual authority, to hearing the Word of God taught, to all of those concepts, because they're taking so seriously what I'm about to teach. But I see another dangerous element as well. And that is, I see Baptist people who are members of churches and even active in churches, but they apparently believe that because their kids go to Sunday school and Christian school, that they don't ever have to open the Bible at home. May I say to you that this is a very dangerous extreme. To think that you as a father who is the primary teacher of the family can neglect that responsibility and everything else is going to work out is also false teaching. All right? So let's look at a very important passage tonight. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and there shall be a frontlets between thine eyes. Now I've seen Orthodox Jews in Israel literally banding the Scriptures to their foreheads. And banding around their wrists and walking around with the Scriptures on their foreheads and on their wrists. I saw an Orthodox Jew at the Wailing Wall, and he had on his forehead the Scriptures, on his hands the Scriptures, and in his hand he had his phone and he was texting instead of praying. It was the goofiest sight you ever saw in your life. It's not enough to own a Bible. It's not enough to tie Scriptures to your head. God says, I want these to be in your heart. I want them to be taken from one generation to the next and taught to the next generation. And dads, I want to challenge you, and granddads too, to look for opportunity and make opportunity as a dad to open up the Word of God this summer in your home and to take that Bible and to read several verses, and then to comment and to say what it means to you and that it's been a blessing to you. Take your daughters and go get a Coke at McDonald's and just share one verse and look for opportunity. Say, it's not my nature. It doesn't matter. It may not be your nature to shave or brush your teeth, but I hope you do it. You see, God says in the home, we need to teach the Word of God. Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not thy mother. You know, sometimes the kids don't want to hear it, or they're acting disinterested. And there may be where you need to say, listen up here, I want you to get this. You know what I've found over the years? A lot of times when you don't think they're getting it, they're getting it. They're hearing it. And I challenge you this summer to be consistent in reading the Word of God in your home. Opening up God's Word diligently, daily, directly teaching the children. Get the picture in your mind. Picture your kitchen table. Picture 6:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock at night or whenever you settle in, and say, all right, gather around here, kids, gather around. And those of you that can, maybe you'd sing a little song. You don't have to. You may have I think every one of you ought to have a hymn book in your home. We're just having a family night tonight. Is everybody with me? Amen. Get a hymn book. Go to the bookstore and get a hymn book. And open the hymn book up if need be. And sing a little hymn. Maybe sing at Calvary. All right, let's sing it together. Now, some of you guys, this is a scary thought. Just hold on, and you can hum. How's that sound? Okay. Play a music video of Brother Guy or something. But maybe just sit down and say, all right, let's sing at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Some of your 13-year-old boys are about to faint thinking that you might do this tomorrow. By the way, they need to see that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And just say, well, I don't know if I can sing, all right? I'm going to throw out two or three and hope you do one. Next thing you do is read the Bible to them. All right, kids, I want to read to you today here. Today's the 15th, so we're going to go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Here it is. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, Joe, you remember that boy that sometimes at recess, he kicks sand at you? Remember you told me that just yesterday. He kicks sand at you. And I know it bothers you. It's not right. And don't worry, I've already sent a missile to Dr. Salazar. I just sent it over to him. No, don't tell him that. Don't make your children think you can jerk them like a chain. All right? Or that they can jerk you like a chain. Now, here it is. You're having devotions. Now, remember you said he kicked you with sand. Now, here it is. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, Johnny, when that boy kicks that sand at you today, if that happens, I want you to just turn away from him. And if you need to go tell your teacher, you tell your teacher or tell me later tonight. But I don't want you to kick sand back, and I don't want you to give him so he has to have stitches like you did last time. Because the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. We ought never to say bad words on the playground. Hey, they don't need to hear that just from Brother Salazar. We've got to work together as a team here. All right, Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge upright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And now, Susie, a lot of times girls will say things about other girls that aren't kind. It's not kind. And that's just foolish talk. And let's be wise. By the way, I didn't have to read a commentary to know what those verses meant. That's right. Just ask the Lord to help you. Just take 5 minutes tomorrow and read the Word of God. And then just take a moment and pray. Say, all right. You say, Pastor, what if we don't sing a song? The Bible speaks of songs, hymns, spiritual songs. You may not sing a song. You may not read a whole chapter. You may just read a few verses. But you're giving them a Bible principle. Hey, imagine if you gave your child a Bible principle 250 days out of the year. And imagine if you did that for 10 years. That's 2,500 times they saw you and heard you telling them something from the Word of God. And after you read the Word of God, then you say, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Who has a prayer request? Oh, listen, the best devotions are with 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. They request everything. They'll request things that aren't even real sometimes. Pray for Brother Furso. They're having terrible marriage problems. And that's not real, by the way. But you ought to hear the prayer requests at school sometime. Oh, boy. Pray for my mom and dad. They had a terrible fight today. And yes, they do. They request such prayers. But you know, you could say to your 7 or 8-year-olds, they remember missionaries. They pray for folks that are burdened. Sometimes our children are more burdened than we are burdened. And I'm saying, sing a song, read the scripture, and then have a time of prayer. Oh Lord, we pray for our country today. Pray for our pastor today. Pray for this and pray for that. And spend time with your children in the Word of God, in your home, in your home. Every home is a place of ministry. Every dad needs to shepherd that family. You say, well, my kids are grown, all right? Hey, take your son out. Take your son that's not living for the Lord out. Get him a hamburger. Look it, kids that aren't living for the Lord are always broke anyways. They'll take you up, even carnal people like In-N-Out Burger. Take them out to In-N-Out Burger. And have prayer. And then after your prayer, talk a while about things that interest them, baseball, whatever. And then say, son, I want to tell you something. I was thinking of a verse in the Bible the other day. Here it is. And I thought it might be a blessing to you. And I just want you to know I love you. Thanks for being my son. Thanks for being my grandson. I care for you. I pray for you. Don't tell me that'll fall on deaf ears. That will make a difference in your home. Secondly, through your church. God wants us to hear the Word of God at church. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, listen, I'm simply saying that in the family life this summer, we must intentionally approach the Christian home, modeling the Christian life, and in our outward testimony, showing forth how the Christian life is lived, mentoring the Christian life, taking our sons and teaching them about how to treat their mother and how to listen in church and how to be faithful and how to have a witness. Hey, how to carry a gospel tract, how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and then teaching them, maintaining biblical instruction in the home. I cannot think of the family without 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul said to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Don't forget the ministry of your home this summer. Now, moms and dads, I want you to take out that paper I talked to you about a moment ago. If you didn't get a piece of paper, just take out some paper. Grandmas and grandpas, I want you to participate. And I want you to think about the three thoughts here in this message, and we're done. Number one, I want to ask you this question. I want you to make this commitment. And I want you to write this down. Number one, I will model the Christian life this summer by what? How will you model the Christian life this summer? Just think about it. Your faithfulness, maybe a husband honoring his wife as the Scriptures command. I will model the Christian life in what ways? How will your family see Jesus in you this summer? Just write down a few thoughts, some things that you just want to make sure you've got in place. I mentioned some in the message. In our giving, in our attending, in our forgiving, in our treating of our spouse, I want to model the Christian life this way, okay? I want to model the Christian life. How can you be that living Bible? Most of you know that I'm a King James man, don't you? I believe the King James Bible is a preserved Word of God. I don't think we need another translation. But I do believe this. I don't believe, and the Living Bible is not even a translation. It's a poor paraphrase. But let me just say this. What I do think we need is a Living Bible in the sense of me and you living the Bible out. Modeling. I will model my faithfulness. Do you know when we say something like this, "Sweetheart, I almost forgot to leave my tithe before we leave." Do you know our children hear that? Do you know they watch how we listen in church? All of it, everything we do is modeling for them. All right? I will model the Christian life. That's number one. I hope you wrote down a few thoughts there. All right? Number two, I will mentor my child or my grandchild by what? What are some things you want to teach them to do? Maybe you want to teach them to build a go-kart. Or maybe you want to teach them how to put a worm on the hook. Maybe you want to teach them how to witness to a neighbor, how to plant a garden, or better yet, how to hoe the garden after it's planted. Amen. How about this? I want to pray with my grandkids. I want to teach them how to pray. Camden's 6 months old, our grandson. We're trying to teach him how to hold his hands and bow his head right now. We're trying to teach him at a young age. So far, he's rebellious and needs a spanking. He doesn't even see the necessity of it. But you know what? Just as early as we can impress upon him, we don't take food without thanking God. Just mentoring. What is it? Fellas, so many of you are so good at some things. Do you realize how many boys in this church could not hook their line if they had to? They would not know the first thing about catching a fish or carving a piece of wood. They wouldn't know the first thing about perhaps Bible reading in the way they should, or so many areas. Men and boys camp out may be a good opportunity, but don't make that the only opportunity. And a lot of daughters here right now, they don't even know how to load up a black powder rifle. They wouldn't even know where to start. Some of you, don't worry, that was just a joke there, ladies. Don't worry about that. Although that may be important to some dads, I don't know. The whole point of it is, look at some good things somebody taught you, teach your kids. Moms, how about teaching your daughters how to make strawberry jam? How about teaching them how to give a jar to the pastor? Amen. Mentoring. Number three, I will maintain consistent teaching. Here it is. Dads with kids at home. Husbands with a wife at home. Here it is. Moms, single dads. Will you read the Bible to your family this summer? Some of you, you say, I don't know how to expound on it, all right? If you won't expound on it, would you just read it to them? Just read it. So I tell you right now, I am not singing with them. All right, that's fine. Might bring some indigestion anyways if you did. Say, Pastor, man, you're saying this right in front of my kids. Well, sorry, this is church. I don't know where else to preach the Bible. Church. I'm just trying to advocate the idea that sometimes we get so busy and sometimes we think, well, they go to Christian school and Brother Coates is their teacher and he reads the Bible a lot. But God wants us in the home to read the Word of God. Will you teach your children? Say, well, it's not my nature. I know it. It's your responsibility. And so here it is. I will model the Christian life by doing these things. I'll mentor my child or my grandchild by these things. I will maintain consistent teaching in the home in this way. Say, well, I don't know if I can do it 7 days a week because here's my shift and there's this and there's that. My wife and I work different shifts. Look it. Would you determine tonight to find a way? Would some of you that have 22 and 25 and 27-year-old kids, and would you just determine 3 or 4 times this summer you're going to get a hold of them somehow and you're going to spend some time with them in the Word of God? And I pray that we'll leave a godly heritage. I pray that someday our children will say, Dad did everything he could all the time to try to show me how to live the Christian life. My dad wasn't perfect, but he never did quit. He always kept trying every step of the way to live the Christian life. May we be intentional in leaving a godly heritage.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.